Well, if you're just tuning in, then James Van Praagh is our special guest tonight. You already know that if you've been with us since the beginning. So we'll be back with James in just a moment. James, where does reincarnation fit into any of this?
Well, I believe, George, that this is our schoolroom down here. And as souls, we come back to learn various lessons. And I think that each lifetime we have these lessons learned. Some we pass the test, other times we don't pass the test. And we come not only as individual souls, but we also belong to soul groups. And we come back to evolve as a group as well. And I think we come back in different lifetimes playing different parts, different characters. One lifetime you're the father, the next you're the daughter, the next you're the mother, to learn all the various different aspects, if you will, of the relationship between each other. So I do believe in reincarnation. I do, from lifetime to lifetime, you're perfecting aspects of yourself and also learning, if you will, or working through karma in some ways or another. It's all about learning.
Like during reincarnation, if one has addictions, do those addictions crop up again in the life?
Great question, and the answer is yes. I have found that there seems to be the behaviors go from lifetime to lifetime, the same types of behaviors, likes and dislikes. If one was a musician in one lifetime, it'll continue on to several other lifetimes. My ability as a medium, I'm sure I've worked on this ability from many previous lifetimes, worked up to perfect it. I'm sure I've also lived many lives in various religious disciplines, all different types of disciplines, in order to understand this type of work and work with all different types of people. So I do believe that.
What has been the most difficult thing for you when this was happening to you to grasp that you've now mastered?
I don't know if I've ever mastered it. I think that I'm always learning and growing as well. I remember when I first started how getting involved in this type of work, how vast it all did seem, and that I never thought I would be able to understand it all, and I still don't think I understand it all, because I think the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. So
that's true.
It's true. I think the hardest part of this type of work for me, and it's just my own personal thing, is seeing the ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance in the world, and that's been hard. That's been difficult to see human beings treating each other in certain ways with prejudices and being ignorant to certain, I don't know, it's very hard to see that. That's, the more spiritual you become, the more you become aware of the injustices in certain ways.
Do you find that more and more people are becoming more spiritual, that's growing?
Yes, very, very much so. And it's very, very true, and that is demonstrated by the television shows such as Ghost Whisperer and Medium and all these paranormal shows on the Sci-Fi Channel and all those cable stations. I mean, people cannot get enough of them now. And when I first started doing this work many, many years ago, I remember my first book, Talking to Heaven, I could not even find a publisher to publish that book, because the reaction was one of, who would want to publish a book about death? That's very morbid. No one would read a book about death and spirits. And I said, yes, they would. Everybody has the experience. They want to know about it. And sure enough, now it's mainstream. It's become very, very mainstream. And I also find, George, every single individual has an experience, whether it's a dream of a loved one that's passed over, or a hunch, an intuition, whether it's a thought about someone, 5 minutes later the phone rings, it's that person. Everybody has some kind of a psychic or intuitive experience. And now it's okay to tell people about those things. You're not the weirdo anymore. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I find
it very freeing.
Do you find that the spirits will sometimes step in and help the person who's living in some form or fashion?
Oh,
whether
very
it's
much.
To save them from going over a cliff in a car or whatever?
Yes, very, very much so. The spirit, the spirits love us just like they've loved us on the earth. That love that they've created, that we have with them, that affinity, if you will, continues on. Just because they're in a different dimension, it doesn't stop. What happens in that dimension, when they look back at us and try to help us and influence us, it's as if they can see us. And let's say they're in a helicopter, they can see the road that we're on, and they can warn us of the roadblocks along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they can try to influence us and help us to avoid those roadblocks. But they can't drive the car for us, because we have to learn our lessons. And they want us to grow, evolve, so they're not going to stop us from evolving. They're not going to give us the answers to the test, if you will. But they certainly can help to influence us as best as they can. And the more open we are to hearing them, then the easier it is to get through it.
I would assume that if people can tap into this, that it changes their life, they become more enlightened, and it probably helps them in their physical life in terms of being a little bit more successful, not just monetarily, but in everything.
Well, it exactly. I totally agree, George. I believe that it is really having a sense, and I write about this in the book, which is very important, is the past has already happened. So there's nothing we can do to change the past. The future has yet to come. So we only have the now, the moment, you know, this moment right now, this exact moment, the present moment we're living in, and we can do anything we want with that moment. What really we learn about is, as the Buddha say, being mindful, being aware of what you're creating at that exact moment. Do you want to create a future of loving and happiness and joyful life, or do you want to create a life of havoc and fear and a dismal existence? You have the choice. So it's really taking a part of this moment that you're in right now and making the best of it with the energy you send out to other people, to yourself, whether it's through thoughts, words, deeds, whatever it is, because that's what you're going to live. I tell people that in front of them, they should imagine a blank canvas. And how would they like to portray that canvas? How would they like to paint that canvas? What colors would they like to use? How would they like it to look? Beautiful? Incredibly shining, beautiful colors, or would look muted and dark and ugly. And that's how they should live their life from moment to moment. What do they want to give to the world? Because that's what comes back. And like attracts like. When you send out love and positive thoughts and positive energy, you will get that back in all different aspects of your life.
That's so true. That is so true. Even helping people in a little way comes back to you. Number of ways.
You know, I find it so, the best part of what I always have fun with this. What I do from day to day, and I talk about this in the book too, is every single day, I will try to make somebody smile. And even when I'm on the elevator and people looking down on the floor, I'll make a joke, I'll make a comment, because I want to interact with them. I want to make them active, and I want to make them alive, and laugh and smile, because that's what we're here for. And life is way too short not to take advantage of it.
And, you know, simply opening up the door for somebody can put a smile on their face.
That's right. Those little things. And it seems that those little random acts of kindness are the ones that count the most. People will often say that when they have their life review, they say, it's those little things that you do, what you don't even think about, but you do, that count the most.
What would happen on this planet, James, if everyone, 6.5 billion humans, in some form or fashion, did something nice, at least for one day?
Oh, I think it would change the whole world. I think it would change the planet. It would change the whole energy structure of this planet. I think that that's what we're going toward. I would hope that's what we're going toward. I think that, as I said before, just being mindful, just being the great thing about, you know, like the work I do, yes, I'm a survival evidence medium, and I bring through evidence of life after death. That's number one. Then that's the basic, and I wish I could go a little bit more higher than that and teach people not only is there life after death, but now you have to begin to be mindful and be responsible for your thoughts and your actions, how you treat another human being by what you think, by what you say. Just imagine what the world would be like if people took responsibility for their actions and their thoughts. It'd be a much better place.
Absolutely. Can you help develop this gift for other people to contact their loved ones?
Yes, I teach classes around the country. On my website, I list all my events that I do, that trainings I do. I do trainings all over the country. I'm actually going to be in Denver June the 9th, and I'm doing some work there, and all over the country. It's on my website, vanprague.com. And I tell people to open up, if you will, because there are many different levels of intuition, psychic ability,
yes,
mediumship. And I say to people, it's like being born, everybody's born with the ability to play the piano, but not everybody's a concert pianist. You have to have a certain amount of skill, if you will, an innate skill, but you certainly can develop your intuition, because intuition means into the soul. It is the language of the soul, and we are souls. We are spirit. We're born with instinctive qualities. So it's remembering that and opening that up and then using it and then trusting that instinct, if you will. And, George, it's very much like the muscle. You know, you develop muscle, you work out with the muscle, it gets stronger and bigger. Same thing with this, with intuition. The more you use it every day, the stronger it gets.
So true. You have an incredible story about to being visited by the spirit of Audrey Hepburn. Tell me about that.
Well, this is interesting because I was doing a reading for Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I've done several for Jennifer Love Hewitt, once before the show started with Marianne Winkowski.
Mm-hmm.
And Marianne did hers, and I did mine separately. And then I did another one for Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I don't remember when this was, maybe 2 years ago or a year ago. And we were at her house, and I, for some reason, I felt I had to give her this message. And her grandmother came through, and then the gentleman she was with, his father came through. And then suddenly I looked in the corner, and there was Audrey Hepburn standing there. And she was very beautiful. Her hair was pulled back, and she was wearing a pink dress, like a pink silk dress or satin dress. And I said to Jennifer Love Hewitt, I said, you know, there's Audrey Hepburn is here. And she goes, oh, that makes sense. They played her in a movie. I said, oh, okay. Well, I said, and I've always loved Audrey Hepburn. I've always loved her. I said, it was very interesting. The message that she gave her was, I'm one of her guides. I'm looking out for her. So I told that to Jennifer. And I said, Jennifer, she's also telling me that you had a picture of her that you put up in your trailer the other day. And she said, yes, I did that yesterday.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So now whenever I go around the country and I go into a bookstore or somewhere, and my eye catches Audrey Hepburn, I always think of that. It's funny.
As long as her little eyes on the picture don't start moving, you'll be okay, huh?
I told you my Lincoln story before, right?
Tell us again.
Oh, it's a great, great story. It's one of the best. It's one of the best experiences I've had doing this work after all these years. Back when my show Beyond, a daytime show I had called Beyond, that was on right before that came on. And that was about 2002 maybe, 2003, I don't remember. What happened was it was a Sunday night, and I was just about to go to bed, just about falling asleep, and I noticed there was a gentleman sitting at the end of my bed. And I looked up and I said, what the heck is that? And I said, oh my goodness, is that Abraham Lincoln? And I heard in my mind a voice say, that is the personality you would know me by. We have come from, we are of the new order. And we are here of the new order. We must tell you that we are here to help you know you are not alone. We're helping you to change the consciousness of this planet. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, come on, give me a break. You must be kidding. Come on, this is ridiculous. I said, are you really Abraham Lincoln? I'm a Virgo. So Virgos are very analytical, very skeptical. Like, are you really Abraham Lincoln? Yes, I'm Abraham Lincoln. That's the personality you'd know me by. But please remember, we are here to tell you this. We're going to help you change the conscience through your work, through television, through your books. And I'm like, looking at this, like, I need proof. Tomorrow is Monday. If I hear one reference about Abraham Lincoln, I'll know it's really you. And he said, you will have your proof. Just remember, we told you. The next morning, the phone rang. It was a fax machine, and it was the editor sending back pages from my book, Heaven and Earth.
Right.
And one of the questions, there was a question and answer thing. One was, what is a premonition? And the answer was, seeing a scene before it happens, very much like the famous Abraham Lincoln death scene, because he had a vision of his death, of his laying out in the coffin. And I freaked out. I pushed the paper on the floor. I said, whoa, this is crazy. The next 2 hours later, a friend of mine called up and said, what'd you do over the weekend? I said, nothing. What'd you do? I was in Palm Springs, and the weirdest thing happened. Some friends bought him a painting. I said, oh, that's very strange. He said, yes. I said, what was it like? What was the painting look like? He said, it was called Abraham Lincoln Freeing the Slaves.
Jeez.
Again, I freaked.
Yeah.
That evening, I was writing out my bills, the checks for bills on my table. And my wallet fell down off of the table. I looked down on the floor to pick it up, and there was a $5 bill with Abraham Lincoln, the only bill out of that billfold, looking straight up at me. George, since that day, which was in 2003, every single day, I'll either see a sign about Lincoln, I'll be on a stage and there'll be a penny with Lincoln, I will be having an interview, someone will ask about Lincoln. Every single day, there's something about Lincoln.
You can't get away.
Can't get away from it. Which is a good thing. I think it's a good thing, but I love that story, and it's wonderful.
Have you ever been scared doing what you do?
No, I'm more scared of the living than I am of the dead.
Okay.
At least with the dead, I know what I'm getting in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm protected. Yeah. But the living, they kind of freak me out sometimes.
The dead aren't out to get us, are they?
The living or the dead?
The dead.
You know, I think that there are many, many levels of spirit, many unevolved spirits, and I do think that they will certainly go after the weaker types of beings, human beings, who are defenseless, if you will, whether those are drug addicts or alcoholics or, you know, people of weak-mindedness, if you will. And I think that there are those who want to possess human beings, no doubt about it.
Well, and they can't possess people who are weak like that.
They certainly can. I mean, I talk a lot about this and write about this, you know, drug addictions, alcohol, so forth. I say to people, be very careful. Don't overdo anything. Everything should be in moderation. Because, for instance, drug addicts or drinkers, like alcoholics, you go to a bar, it's one of the worst places to find dark level spirits. Because they want to, if they can say, attach themselves to another, to a host. And they miss the essence of the drink, the physical. And there's a wonderful expression, she's not herself when she drinks. You bet she's not. She's being influenced by an entity. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen more than I care to even talk about. But, I mean, on my show, Ghost Whisperer, I've seen a producer walk down the hall, and I swear to you, I saw so many beings controlling his body. It was scary. And
they shapeshift, don't they?
They shapeshift. Lizard people, I mean, snake people. It was like Medusa. I was looking at the sky. It's like, wow. And it was really interesting to see it. Yeah, it looked like reptilian. Very strange. Very, very odd.
But you're right, too. You do see it with people. Sometimes we all think, well, it's the alcohol. But I think they open themselves up and something happens to them.
Well, the reason why is because if there's abuse over and over again, a chronic behavior, and there is abuse, the aura, which is our protection, is our shield around every living person, this magnetic field, this beautiful aura. If you abuse your health through addiction of some sort, like alcohol, drugs, little pinprick holes appear in the aura. And what happens is it opens the cracks and it splits. And lower entities can certainly siphon themselves there, like vampires, if you will. That's where the whole idea of vampires began, because what do vampires go after? The source of life, blood. So they will siphon, and they will influence those people, and that's very, very common.
And you're a believer in using your dreams to get some of this accomplished, too?
Sure, you bet. You bet. I always find that before I go to sleep at night, I always protect myself with light, always, and God's blessing. I do believe that when we leave our bodies at night, I think we all leave our bodies at night and we go to the other side, the astral world, the other dimension. And I believe that you work with your guides. Many people do mission type work or help other people. You see your loved ones when you sometimes you dream. Well, sometimes you remember it because I think you see your loved ones every night. But you remember in the conscious mind sometimes when upon waking. Yeah, you can definitely work at night, for sure. People wake up exhausted. They wonder, why am I so exhausted? Well, because they've been working very hard at night.
You are very tuned in, James. You've said a few things tonight that not a lot of people who try to pretend they're mediums understand. You really are the real deal, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Yeah, so I've seen a lot and been experienced a lot. I used to sit with Leslie Flint, who was a physical medium. He was really the greatest physical medium that ever lived, I think, in the 20th century. He was a British medium, and I sat with him in 1987. And I remember very clearly the ectoplasm was created in the room, and there was an artificial voice box and a larynx, and a Frenchman came through and mentioned that I would be doing this type of work in many years to come. And I would write a book, and many people would know about me. And they wanted to do this work with me. And I still have that on tape. And so I've sat through a Leslie Flint seance, a physical phenomena seance. And I've also been to Brazil. And I've been working with this physical materialization in Brazil, seeing mediums down there do this work. When you've had many, many of these experiences, it helps you to form your opinions, I must say.
It really does. Well, stay with us. We're going to continue. Phone lines are ringing like crazy, James. I might open them up a little earlier, and then we'll have full calls next hour as well. I'm George Norrie, James Von Prague with us right here on Coast to Coast AM. His website, linked up at Coast to Coast AM right now, but if you're driving around, let me spell it for you. Just remember it, VanPraagh.com. Well, if you're looking for a great read, there's the After Dark magazine. You can subscribe and renew it and get all kinds of nice little treats by calling 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. James, if for some reason the regrets are not dealt with while on planet Earth, what happens in the spirit world?
Well, it just seems that because over there is no such thing as time, they have to live with it, if you will, until they either forgive themselves or the kind of do some type of work, it seems, where the regret becomes minimal, kind of minimized, if you can. And would that be the guide, someone who they regret the situation, they work at it that way? It just seems that, but it seems the best way to get over that is our love can help them. It's hard for someone to forgive themselves on this earth. Imagine when in spirit, in that dimension, when there is no time, they relive it over and over and over again in their heads. So that's difficult, but time hopefully does that. Hopefully
if,
heals.
If a living being doesn't make amends with the spirit world, or the spirit in particular, and then that living being dies, do they work it out in the spirit world?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've had thousands of those types of readings where they did not get along at all on the earth, and they get over there, and it seems that they understand each other. Now, they don't. It's very interesting because last weekend in Atlantic City, this came through. This young lady's mother and father had passed, and I said to her, your father's telling me he's not with your mother. And she said, I found it very odd because they spent 40 of their years together. And I said, well, he said they don't belong together. They had to go through it on earth together, but over there, they don't belong together. And it seems that you go to the place that you do belong. And for some reason, those two had to finish some karmic obligations with each other on the earth, maybe bring through some children, those spirits, and that was it. And they were finished. Now, they see each other, but they just don't belong to each other on that level, same levels.
I love it. Let's go to some phones. Sandra, first-time caller, Studio City, California. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. What a pleasure to speak to you both, George and James.
Thank you, Sandra.
I had a question that has to do with what you mentioned about opening and closing the chakras when getting in tune with the spiritual beings. Could you give a little bit more detail? I'm familiar with the chakras in many years of yoga.
Sure. Very simply put, it's like the energy goes up and down the spine like a serpent, if you will, as you know this, through yoga. And there are various energy centers of the body, many, many chakras. But we, of course, the Eastern philosophy is seven main chakras. And each chakra is associated with a different type, if you will, of psychic ability and the emotional centers. And it's really giving attention and drawing the energy to those, amplifying those centers, if you will, and opening them up and making them alive, and then really visually closing them down when you're done, okay? That's how it works. And you have to practice it over and over and over again and bring up the energy. It's also good not only to do it psychically for a psychic development, but also just running your energy.
Right,
through yoga, through meditation, is to run the energy up and down. That's the same thing in a way.
So is it up first to open and down to close?
Correct.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
And it's also, it goes clockwise and counterclockwise, counterclockwise. They spin in different ways.
You mentioned something very interesting, James, about the various levels that are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, spirits are on this level, spirits are on this level. And, you know, you can get through certain levels. I would assume, is that bottom level what we would consider hell?
I guess so, George. When you say hell... We get all these pictures of what that means to people, and most of us get religious connotations to that, fire and brimstone. I don't think there is fire and brimstone. I mean, people can have that if they want that, because you create anything you want, you can have it. I just think it's a sense of darkness. There's a sense of bleakness, if you will. Like that's a very low, low point. I think that's really what that is.
Okay, let's go to Joe driving in California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's a privilege and a pleasure to speak to you.
Good evening.
James, as a practicing metaphysician for many years, I've had a belief I've developed that in human sexuality that homosexuality is perhaps influenced by the most previous lifetime. If a person was a male in a previous lifetime or a female, they might be inclined to have an alternative sexuality. What is your opinion on that?
I say yes and no. And I say, I think there is a possibility of that they carry that from one lifetime to another lifetime. But I really think that it's the energy that they're working with. And I do believe that in this you know, this lifetime they have to be homosexual or they have to be heterosexual for whatever lessons they have to learn. So I'd like to say it that way, because that's, I think that there might be, I think everybody has homosexual lives, heterosexual lives. I believe everybody has those experiences, male, female. I do believe that. But I think you choose this lifetime, this situation, and even your sexual orientation, also for the lessons you have to learn.
Do you have to be particularly religious or very spiritual in order for this to work for you?
Religion and spirituality, I think, for me personally, I don't put them together. I think religion is man-made. I think we're born spirits, and we are naturally spiritual beings. I think religion is man's way of getting us back into center, if you will, or reminding us of center. But I think we get meshed with too many traditional types of things, aspects, and rules and disciplines, if you will, that man creates. I think that I think you have to be spiritual. I mean, but for me, I can only speak for me because I know that there are mediums out there who are very good mediums, but they're not very spiritual.
True.
Which is, that's, people have to realize that just because somebody is very gifted, intuitive, and a good gifted intuitive, does not mean that they're necessarily spiritual. Two completely different things.
What do you think of prayer? Does it work?
I think prayer, I often say prayer, are thoughts, unconditional pearls of love. Because thought is energy. Everything is energy. And I think prayer is pure loving energy, pure loving thought. And it does work. It's intent. It's putting a thought with an intent behind it. And I think you can get whatever you want because you are God. We are all God, and God is creating constantly, creating, creating, creating. What happens and gets in the way is our ego. Our ego limits God and blocks that creativity.
Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Josie. You're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Well, hello, both of you.
Hello.
I'm calling because what you said, James, in the beginning of the show, I can't exactly know how you said it. It was perfectly stated that you're not responsible for what other people think of you.
Oh, the karma. Yeah, oh, that, yes. Yes, it's none of my business what you think of me.
That's none of my business. That's what I wanted
that's
to remember.
That's right. It's none of my business what you think of me.
But I concerned, you know, you also talked about things that made me induced to call. About addictions, I have one of my three sons that we used a long time on cocaine because it's illegal, so he was very good at hiding it, so he couldn't get
sure.
into treatment earlier. However, he just doesn't communicate with other people. Now, I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about the addictions in general and the healing from cocaine that's needed. Does it take a really long time? I mean, it's been 9 years and no communication between this young man, one of my, just, I love him dearly, and the rest of the family and even his own friends.
You know, it goes back to before what we talked about, and really what this gentleman before you, the caller before you, talked about, from lifetime to lifetime, does it carry over? And we mentioned that sometimes addictions seem to carry over from lifetime to lifetime. We tried to work it out in one lifetime. It didn't happen. We couldn't solve it then, so we bring it back and try to work it out this lifetime. And that does. That's common. I think really love is the answer, and love of self is the most important thing. Uh-huh. There's obviously some aspect of his being which he's trying to heal, trying to bring the wholeness. And love is the only answer. And
so
you can,
it takes a long time then for the brain to heal from that long usage. I mean, he was, in his 30s when they discovered and we got him to an intervention and everything.
Sure. I also want to tell you that I'm not a medical doctor, so I got to tell you up front. Of course, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I think that I don't know if there's some ADD issues also that they're finding out. That certain, you know, I know that certain drugs like speed is good for people with ADD because it focuses them.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that is going on out there too. But it's up to each individual how long the process takes to heal. But you've got to be supportive. If you can, if he's not speaking, maybe he can write things out to you. Love is the answer. Support is the answer.
James, the subtitle of Unfinished Business, What the Dead Can Teach Us About Life. What can they teach us about life?
They can teach us from their perspective. to look at things very, very differently. From their perspective, they talk about being aware and being mindful, not having to die and then opening up your eyes, but opening up your eyes while you're still walking on the earth. So many of us, they describe as the walking dead on this earth, because we go 9 to 5, go to work, look right in front of us, behind us, but don't look around us. And we really need to spend the time to stop, to go within, explore our inner world and the world around us, be mindful of the world we live in and what we create with our thoughts, words, and deeds. That's what they're teaching us. They're trying to teach us anyway.
Let's go to North Hollywood, California. Brian, you're up with us on the wild card line. Hi.
Hi, James. This is Brian. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Great. That is so crazy that you mentioned about Love is the Answer. I wrote a song when I was 21 years old called Love is the Answer, so I'm right there with you.
Love is the answer. Love is all there is.
That's right. And what my question tonight is that I have a friend up in Seattle, but how can we get our friends to really, if they don't believe, they're reluctant to believe, to get them to at least try to acknowledge or at least enter into this type of situation that you're talking about?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because a lot of people on the path get very frustrated. And even people who come to see me in my workshops, they're like, wow, this was amazing, incredible change in my life. I got to tell my family about this. I got to tell my friends about this. And I say to them, don't be upset when they don't understand. Because I found you cannot force enlightenment on anybody. Everybody goes in their own time. And you cannot force it on anyone. But what you can do is certainly live by example and teach by example of how you live and how you make the proper choices in your life. That can teach them, and that can demonstrate to them the powers of your work, spirit, and so forth.
Do you still, I know you mentioned the possibility of earthquakes in L.A., do you still get these kinds of psychic visions?
Every once in a while, I'll get a hit. I don't call myself, they call it psychic medium. I don't believe that. It's an oxymoron. I'm a spiritual medium. Every medium better be psychic, otherwise they have problems. But I will get a hit every once in a while on certain things, for sure. And I've had a hit, 9/11. I knew that was going to happen, but I didn't know the date it was going to happen, but I was 2 years of within close to that. I get hits of things. The earthquake, the Northridge quake, I write about in this book. I knew, I had a dream several days before of a railroad car coming through my room, my bedroom, at 4:15 in the morning.
Jeez.
And 2 days later was the Northridge quake. And it's exactly what it sounded like.
Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Kristen, west of the Rockies. Hi, Kristen.
Yes, hi, Mr. Von Prague and George.
Hello,
I love your, I love both of your work. I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a bit nervous. But I have a question for Mr. Von Prague about Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
And they're going to capture him, or is he dead, or are they ever going to capture him?
I don't know. I do not know.
Well, let me ask you this, James. If he were dead already, would you be able to pick up that spirit?
That's a very good question. Yes and no. I would be able to, but why would he come to me? He's never met me before. He doesn't know me. So, and I wouldn't necessarily attune myself to that energy. It could happen. It's happened before where there's been spirits, but it usually has to be someone I'm doing a reading for, and that connection is made that way. The link is made that way. They don't just arbitrarily pop into me because they're dead. Lincoln did. That was interesting. But again, I think we have past lives together also.
Some are random, but not all.
Yeah, correct.
Next up, let's go to Leah, first-time caller in San Francisco. Hi, Leah.
Hi, George. Fantastic program. And
yes.
James, I've been a fan of yours for quite a few years.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I have a burning question.
Good. Okay. Don't burn too much.
Okay. I've been a frequent visitor at the Marin Headlands Park. It's the recreational area there, and they have a group of coyotes that live there. There was one particular coyote that was fondly named Figures, and she was very friendly to people because people fed her. Mm-hmm. And the parks considered her a liability, and they were planning on shooting her. Mm-hmm. And because of a huge public outcry, they decided to move her to a sanctuary that was willing to accept her.
Fabulous.
So once they decided that, she disappeared 2 days later, which was on September the 25th of 2008, last year. I still go to the park, and I do hear the coyotes howling in the hills from time to time. And I am just dying of curiosity whether Big Ears is still alive or something horrible may have
happened. How long did this happen? Was she taken away from the park?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How long ago was she taken from the park and put in the sanctuary?
She wasn't taken from the park. She disappeared 2 days after they said they were going to move her. So I thought maybe
The first feeling I got was that someone individually took her away. And I don't feel she's dead. I feel just taken away.
Okay.
That's my first hit on that.
But she's still alive in the hills.
Yeah, I don't feel she's deceased. I just feel someone individually took her away. And I feel going north, like bringing her north to a wooded area north. They live like north of Marin.
North of Marin.
I think they tried to save her. I don't think it was someone who tried killing her.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting? Because
okay.
You would think the first thought you'd have is just someone tried to kill her, but I don't get that at all.
Okay. I kind of thought they wouldn't be that horrible dealing with this animal.
Yeah, I think it was someone trying to save her.
Uh-huh. So farther north. I mean, from time to time, she had a characteristic call that I think I hear from time to time, but then there's, you know.
I think you should just rest assured that she's in good hands, and that's all you can do. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself crazy.
Right, you're absolutely right.
Right, and just spread your love with the other animals around.
Uh-huh.
Because there are a lot of animals that need love.
Right.
They give so much to us, and we give so little back. So it's great to give back to them.
Thanks, Leah. You deal a lot with grieving, James.
I do every day, part of my life.
Yeah, trying to help those as well. It's not easy, though, is it?
It's, you know, George, it's interesting because the grieving person, and I work a lot with parents who lose children, it's as if they're in a hole and they can't get out. They have no way of escaping that hole. And it's very bleak and they can't find a way out. And once they finally escape and they're out of it a little bit, it's a little bit of light, a little bit of shimmer of light, then there's hope. And you give them some hope. And if I can give them hope with this type of work, that's what I want to do. I've seen many parents who have lost children who have learned so much from that situation. I certainly believe that the dead never leave without leaving gifts behind. And I think we have to have the courage, of course, to open up the gifts and find out the meaning. And I remember one lady, Marie Levine in New York, who lost her son. And this was many, many years back. I did a reading for her, and she said, I want to die. There's nothing to live for. And her son said, yes, the best years of your life are still to come. You're going to help many people. She goes, I don't want to help anybody. Well, this lady has since written a book. She's helped grieving parents. She works with Compassionate Friends, an organization for grieving parents and siblings. And she has touched many, many, many lives. So
that's
you never
dramatic.
Know why something happens, you know?
No, you really don't.
What creates it? What's behind that loss? Is there a bigger reason? Is there a bigger picture? What's the bigger picture here?
Can people track your various conferences and cities you're in by just going to the website?
Yes, I'll be in Denver on June the 9th, and I'll be doing book tours in a lot of cities. So yeah, it's all in my calendar of events, vanprog.com. I do teaching mediumship. I'm out there doing lectures. I do a lot of these messages at these lectures. And I have a lot of products also. I have a store page on my website that people can buy past books and products of meditation CDs. So all different types of things. A great resource page also.
Final hour to go of phone calls with James Van Praagh on Coast to Coast AM up next.